Yeah, I agree with what Michael's saying about the issue rests with the Crown. Tomorrow's the 4th of July, which is a significant day for the people of the Republic of the United States of America. And they became that republic because of those treaties they did with the Indigenous people at that time, when they booted the Crown out of the Americas. They might have got done in that deal there.
They did. But
in hindsight, you know, we can take it a lot further than that. I believe a treaty is a contractual arrangement you have, and we need to write that contract, and the non-Aboriginal people of this country need to sign it and abide by it. That's what I see a treaty as being. Without a treaty, Australia remains an undeclared war. And you look at the stats on our Aboriginal people, you can see that there's a war zone here. And our people are dying prematurely, I'd say more than 17 years, I'd double it. Our people had a quality of life and a standard of living that will never ever be achieved ever again on this planet, anywhere. They can never repair the damage that they've done to our people. And remember, Australia's not just a single little nation. There's 500 black nations here, a unique race of people. And the Crown, they premeditated this criminal act of genocide against our people. Why? Because of what this country had in terms of resources. That's what drove them. They'd lost America. Remember, the Crown just lost America at that time. And, you know, it was the beginning of, you know, it was the time of the Industrial Revolution and the burgeoning population of England at the time. Where were they going to get their money from? Now, what I understand is from these papal decrees of the papal bulls of the 15th century, I think it was, Australia was off limits in terms of the colonists taking over the New World. This country was off limits. And I think the reasoning was because it was so sacred that it shouldn't be defiled by colonialism, shouldn't be infected by this process. And I think what happened after the War of Independence in America, Britain said, well, stuff that. We still rule the waves here. And we're going to waive the rules. And that's what happened in Australia. In 1770, James Cook of the Royal British Navy, lieutenant, I think he was, military man, with his mate, the botanist and biologist, Joseph Banks. Like I said yesterday, they were in the British Columbia on the Hudson River using smallpox, 1768. In 1786, England declared war on Holland. What was this country called at the time? New Holland. Declared war on all the territories of Holland at that time. We got caught up in that process. And there's instructions to Arthur Phillip to commit the act of war, apply the principles and acts of war to these waters and territories. So there's an act of war and aggression applied to this country at that time. Australia is it's a secret invasion. It's an undeclared war. People don't really know what's going on here. And that's what we need to critically analyse and get it right one time, what happened in this country at that time. It's only 200 years ago, for Christ's sake. You know, the capabilities of people researching into the past, we've all seen it. I mean, they can go back to the pyramids 2,000 years ago and in minute detail tell you what happened there. They can't do it in this country 150 years ago, here. Why? Because they don't want to. Australia's just one big hell of a crime scene. Well, I think we all know this. And people have known that. But they don't want to recognise it. They don't want to recognise our humanity. They can't afford to recognise the human rights of the First Nations in this country. It bankrupt them. Totally and utterly. Now, our human rights make this land ours. It's pretty simple. Now, the need for a treaty. Now, if you see, have a look. What a treaty is. It's an international law. It's an instrument of peacemaking. When two sovereign nations come together, they usually have a treaty. And what happens there? It creates a proper legal foundation of law to build a future from. Australia never bothered to do that. They thought they'd exterminate us instead. And that's why, in isolation from the rest of the world and their white Australia policy, their reservations, it's all about the intent to destroy our people. Until I see a treaty which is internationally scrutinised, this war goes on. Now, people are becoming more and more aware of this. I think that's what's happened in this country. And as people become more and more aware, well, that's going to give me a bit more heart to step up a little bit more, because we're going to get our justice one way or the other. Whether we've got the support of the colonialists in this country, who know they're living a lie, who know they're living off the proceeds of one of the most heinous of all known crimes. In fact, if it wasn't for the acts of genocide and the sustained acts of terrorism and the suppression and oppression and repression of our people, you wouldn't have a thing called Australia. It's based on those things. We've all lived here for a long time. We all know this is true. We're human beings, for Christ's sake. And they proved that, I think it was about 1967. Our people have been through one hell of a time here. We had a quality of life and a standard of living which will never, ever be created ever again on the planet. Never. We had a pristine environment. Why? Because we had a proper law operating here. A real law. One that we never changed. A law that wasn't made by man or woman. It's Creator's law. Very simple. And I believe that the whole planet lived in the same mode. Otherwise it wouldn't have got that far. You know what I mean? It's when people started to impose on other people, like the Romans and things like that. It's all about invasion, exploit and imperialism. If you have a look at the way that these governments are operating today, it's still the Senate type of governmental operations. It's still going right back to it. It's the same beast. It's a demon. It's a beast. We need to get rid of it. It's destroyed something so beautiful that we had, that people like yourselves will never ever realise what it is to be a human, what it is to be free, what it's like to live in harmony with each other. 600 black nations here, all languages, not dialect, languages. You know? What it's like to live in harmony with each other and your environment. I mean, you've got a lot to learn. And the first thing you've got to learn is stop the denialism. And denialism is a psychological problem, right? It means you can't deal with reality. And that's the problem of our people. Now, there's probably vested interests and all these other things tied up in that. People don't really want to recognise the rights of our people. But sooner or later, you're going to be forced to do it, whether it's by the forces of nature or the forces of our people and our spirit. Now, you need to heal the spirit of this land. It's embodied by our people. We carry that. It's in us. They need healing. Our ancestor spirits need healing. That's why every time we do something, we pay our respects to our ancestors' spirits, because they're here with us. Must pay respect for them. You don't do that, things can go bad and get ugly. We're asking them to look after us, to guide us. That's why we do that. And we're not stupid people. We're not children. And we don't need to be managed by some dark age system of law, some convict penal colony manifestation. And this country manifested from lies, deceit, fraud. I'm not wrong, am I?
No.
This is what's happened. And we only need our human rights recognised in this country. The most basic and fundamental human rights in this country, and we'll go all right. We just need the jackboots of colonialism taken off our necks. So we need a treaty. It needs to be internationally scrutinised. This is, I'm talking about the general treaty. But what we can do as Indigenous people, or the First Nations of this country, is treaty amongst ourselves. Reconcile amongst ourselves. Let's use that white man's word. You know, it's relevant for us. We used to be friends, blackfellas, in this country. We had trade going on. We had a brilliant system going here. Amazing. We had international trade going on before white fellas turned up here. And we had all these things. You know, we need to reconcile amongst ourselves. And the way to do that is we can do internalised treaty process with each other. And that amounts to a good time for me. I'd love to go into somebody else's country and do corroboree and recognise their sovereignty and recognise their laws and things like that. Then they come back over our country. What a great gig. It's healing. We can do this. And the other thing I want to say, that built into this treaty is a little thing called pay the rent. User pays, right? All understand that, don't we? You're illegally occupying somebody else's land. You should try to justify that. Now, most of these nations have elders who represent the legal authority of Aboriginal people. And when we sit in council and we're the bloodline back to that territory, we are the legal custodians and caretakers of that land. We've got a job to do, right? We need some bucks. Pay the rent. If you live on Wurundjeri land, go and check out the Wurundjeri people and offer some rent to them. And thank them and support what they represent. Combat the racism that's in your community. That helps them, people. It's one thing you can do. But I believe a treaty is the way to go. It'll create a proper legal foundation of law. Not terra nullis, the lie, the act of unutterable shame. What the hell does that mean? Right? Not naive title, bullshit title, the lowest form of title, as Gary Foley mentioned yesterday. It's less than a pastoral lease. You know what a pastoral lease is for? Foreign white animals. Feral animals have got stronger title than black ones. No deal. No deal. Now, we're currently been in a process called this native title. We've been in court for 18 years. The offer that they're making us is less than what it's cost in the administration of that last 18 years. You know what I mean? It's typical of how they try to deliver things to us, these white fellas. You know? It's not on. My country is one of the most resource-rich places in this country. Oil, gas, wood, water, you name it, tourism. It's one of the biggest fishing ports in the southern hemisphere, Lake Entrance. We haven't seen a fish. We haven't seen a bloody shrimp. My great-great-grandfather and his son were murdered on the same day in a place named Sale by Angus McMillan and Ronald McAllister. Now, McMillan's got an electorate named after him now. You know, I see his descendants all over the place. You know? We've had no resolution to this premeditated criminal act of genocide. Delivered to us in a preemptive strike with weapons of mass destruction, namely the smallpox. This country's always had the intent to destroy us and rob this land. That's what it's all about. Still going on today with this mining tax business. And you know how they got to that mining tax? By bludgeoning this, or forcing us to accept this native title business, which gave these miners certainty and everybody else in this country certainty, and left us where? Blackfellas where? Nothing. You know, we never wanted that. Like Foley said, we weren't marching down the street screaming out for native title. We were saying land rights. And our land, we see as our mother. Right? We don't defile it. We protected it for hundreds of thousands of years. That's why you had all these beautiful species and such a pristine environment. Yeah? That's gone in a blink of an eyelid. It's all gone. And there's a price to pay. My advice to colonialists, if you're going to contemplate the idea of genocide, which is a crime in itself, right? If you're going to contemplate the idea of genocide, make sure you do it properly and you get everybody, otherwise you're going to pay the price.